dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It is my great privilege to have with us a man who I think is playing an outsized role in helping, well, millions of us understand the nature of that war, specifically as it relates to what I think is best described as Sharia supremacism. He is Robert Spencer. He is always a welcome guest here, especially as we note and mourn the latest incident of an attack by these Sharia supremacists, it appears, in Manchester in the United Kingdom. Robert Spencer, thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us. Welcome back.
Thanks. Great to be here always, Frank.
I'd like to ask you about this attack. Robert, as we speak, of course, it's still early on in the investigation of it. Details are trickling out beyond the loss of life in this concert involving lots of young people, including some children, several of whom, it appears now, were among the casualties, many others wounded, evidently. Give us your read on both the immediate instance and, more broadly, what it tells us about what we're up against.
Well, this was yet another jihad martyrdom suicide bombing, and there seems to have been a network behind it, as the UK authorities have already arrested two young Muslims in connection with the bombing, and, of course, the bomber himself was killed, as it was a suicide attack. And they are out in force today searching for more people who may have been involved in this. So what we have is yet another result of the policies that the UK and Western governments have been pursuing for so many years. Unrestricted immigration from jihadi hotspots combined with an unwillingness to compel the new immigrants to obey the laws of the land and rather allowing them to set up Sharia enclaves where hatred of the infidel and the necessity to commit violence against him is taught. And so now we see once again, this is what happens when you do this, and it's going to keep happening until these policies are reversed.
Yeah. Manchester in Britain is said to be one of those places. I think enclave doesn't do justice to it. I think the majority of the population now may be Muslim, not all of whom, I hope, are aligned with Sharia supremacism, but unfortunately, it seems, as is often the case in these circumstances, many, many are. Robert, let me ask you, as you look at this and you've very clinically described what seems to be at work here, talk a little bit about the speech that the president made in Riyadh over the weekend and his characterization of what we're dealing with as a war between good and evil, with the Saudis and the Qataris and the Turks and many others in the Muslim world ostensibly on the side of good. Is that how you see it?
Well, you know, I think the president had a very, very difficult road to navigate in that speech. He was speaking, of course, to some of the world's chief sponsors of jihad terrorism, and yet ostensibly they condemn it. And so I think that what he did was really a rather remarkable feat of challenging them to back up their words with action and stating the truth, but not in a way that would be so openly antagonistic to them. He invited them to a better path. Now, the question will be whether he follows through when they don't comply, as they certainly will not. In other words, you have the Saudis, and they're saying the king had just said, as a matter of fact, that Islam is a religion of peace and has nothing to do with terrorism and so on. And so he says, drive them out of your places of worship, which shows that he knows where this is coming from. He knows where these people are gathering, where they're being indoctrinated, and he's challenging them to do something realistic about it and back up their words with deeds when they condemn these things. It was really, I think, a remarkably skillful speech. Of course, once again, he's not being given credit for that.
Yeah. But Robert, let me just ask you, because you are deeply knowledgeable. When they say Islam is a religion of peace, when they say that they denounce terrorism, when they say there is no coercion in religion and the like, what should we understand about the terms they're using and how they mean them that enables them to say it without, well, falling completely afoul of the truth as they see it?
They're saying it with perfect sincerity, as a matter of fact, because they have different understandings of what all these words mean. And this is something that takes in non-Muslims who are uninformed so easily. They hear about justice, that Muslims are working for justice, for peace, and they think that they have this exactly the same frame of reference that we do when we speak about justice and peace. When in reality, they're talking about terrorism, countering terrorism, they think of the United States and Israel as the terrorist states, and not what the jihad terrorists are doing as terrorism necessarily at all. And justice is the imposition of Sharia, which institutionalizes the inequality of women with men, institutionalizes discrimination against non-Muslims, gays, so many others. And so the unwitting Westerner who hears these things is very easily fooled. And many of our leaders, including presidents, have been taken in by this kind of thing. It's far past time for a much more informed response. And we can only hope that when the president speaks about Islamic extremism, that he's going to follow through on that and allow for law enforcement and intelligence agencies to study the motivating ideology behind all this, which they've been forbidden to do under the Obama administration since 2011.
I pray you're right. And I fear, Robert, that one of the upshots of being side by side with the Saudis and other enablers of this jihadism may be more willful blindness. We'll see. We'll urge him, as I know you will, at jihadwatch.org to break with all of that. Let me ask you quickly about two other things, Robert. The Muslim Brotherhood as an engine in this Islamic extremism, should they be designated as a terrorist organization in this country as well as elsewhere?
Yes, there's no doubt whatsoever about it. As a matter of fact, Frank, I recently came across an article arguing that they should not be because they go about their business in nonviolent ways in general. Now, that's not always true. They've been responsible for a terrible reign of terror against the Christians in Egypt ever since they were toppled from power. They've scapegoated the Christians there and brutalized and victimized them with tremendous violence. Now, in that being said, the main thing that we have to keep in mind is that even when they work in nonviolent means, they are working for the same goal exactly as the terrorists, and that is the imposition of Sharia wherever it can be imposed. And so this has to be recognized, that we have to stop thinking about how they're going about doing what they're doing and focus on what they are trying to accomplish. And we do not want to live in a Sharia state here, so that is something that has to be addressed in a realistic way.
Amen. Robert, lastly, you were, as I understand it, poisoned in Iceland recently. Tell us what happened and how you were faring.
I spoke in Iceland last week. It was a very successful event. And right after it, we went to a local restaurant, the organizers, my security team, and the other speaker. And I was greeted by name by a young man, an Icelandic man, who said he was a big fan and shook my hand. And it seems that he slipped some poison in my drink when he did this, because I not long after that became very, very severely ill and had all the symptoms of a drug overdose. And the drugs were indeed found in my system. And so it seems that this is the outcome. You know, Frank, you and I have been subjected to this relentless battering rhetoric from the left for years, that we are racist, bigoted Islamophobes for daring to oppose jihad terrorism and Sharia supremacism. And this is the outcome, that leftists now think that we are Hitler incarnate, that we are evil, and that they're justified and righteous if they do violence to us. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this.
Well, I pray you're wrong, but I'm very grateful that you have survived this particular attack. And thank you for your service. You are, of course, a serious and, I think, entirely accurate characterizer of what we're facing. far from these slanderous allegations against you, my friend. And it's always appreciated when you visit with us and help clarify what indeed we confront. Keep it up, my friend, at jihadwatch.org and on your other platforms, Front Page Magazine and at PJ. Bless you. We'll talk with you soon. Next up, we'll talk with Claudia Rosette. We'll get her take on the latest in Iran, North Korea, and the UN right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.